It's Kevin McCullough on AM 970, The Answer.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Fusion. Amplifying truth. And pursuing clarity. Kevin McCullough, now.
Huge show for your Thursday today. Dr. Howard will be here to talk a little wellness a little bit later on. We're going to talk about how we can reclaim New York. The ADF is going to fight for religious liberties. The vice president's daughter is going to stop by. And we start with all things 2020 with a professor of political science from Iona College, Jeannie Zano. Stay with us.
Binge thinking.
Kevin McCullough. Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
He is playing the role
as well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
6:47. Well, here it is. It's official. Former Vice President Joe Biden, in an online video today, officially declared his candidacy for president in 2020.
If we give Donald Trump 8 years in the White House, he will forever and fundamentally alter the character of this nation, who we are. And I cannot stand by and watch that happen.
That was this morning, very early this morning. You went to bed last night. Joe Biden's not in the race. You wake up this morning. Not only is he in the race, evidently we're all Nazis. But we're going to get to talking about this with the soundbite that you heard there was, of course, the morning man of one of the stations I'm heard on, AM 970 The Answer in New York, Joe Piscopo, the morning voice there, breaking the news as the former vice president decided to roll out his official campaign announcement via video this morning. Here to discuss what it means that Joe Biden has gotten into the race, how it affects the impact of not only the Democratic field, but maybe the outlook for 2020 overall, is a professor of political science at Iona College. Dr. Jeannie Zano rejoins us. Dr. Zano, it's good to have you back. Thanks for being here.
Good to talk to you always.
Let's talk about, first of all, which Joe Biden is getting into the race. Is this the moderate Joe Biden that appeals to the Rust Belt and union workers and goes to church and all that stuff? Or is this a Joe Biden trying to elbow his way into a very kind of progressively socialist field that is getting crowded by the second?
Yeah, I mean, he's the 20th major candidate to enter this race early this morning, and obviously the one that comes with the most name recognition, but also the most baggage. And he is entering a Democratic Party that's very, very different than the one that he has known in all his years in office. It's even since he left office as vice president, the party has moved increasingly to the left. So to your point, the old Joe Biden, that was sort of this, you know, guy that would appeal to the Rust Belt, would go to church. You know, this Joe Biden is going to have to contend with a newly formed Democratic Party. And I think he's going to have some challenges as he tries to do that in the primary. So to answer your question, I think we're going to see a little both. I think we're going to see Joe Biden more on the left in terms of an apologetic for some of his earlier stances in the primaries and moving increasingly to the center. And I'm not so sure how that's going to work for him.
The calendar makes it harder for the Democrats this year because, at least from a traditional Clinton model, if you go back to Bill Clinton's strategies, because California comes up so early in the calendar that everyone is racing to that left lane to try to get that big bucket of delegates that state holds.
Yeah, I mean, it works in two ways. So you're absolutely right. This is a completely new calendar with California moving up. This thing is going to be decided very, very early, which means the general election is going to go on and on and on. And what that means is, as you mentioned, for people trying to vying for California, of course, they're going to be moving to the left, but it also means that money is going to matter an awful lot. So while the progressives on the left have been focusing on small donors, for instance, it's not going to be about small donors in the end. It's going to be about can you raise the big money it takes to sweep across the country? And that's where Biden does have an advantage. I mean, he needs to go after that big money, and he's going to be accused of, you know, not going after those small donors in the way progressives would like him to.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. My colleague Katie Pavlich was on Outnumbered earlier today on the Fox News channel, a channel you and I both appear on. And she pointed out that many in the Democratic field have pledged not to take big money. Joe Biden has conspicuously not refused to take big money. So.
Yeah, and it's such an important point. He would be crazy to make that pledge because at this point, that is his way to potentially, if he can, winning this thing. He's going to have to out-fundraise everybody, and he is going to have to blanket the country because he is, you know, for him to focus on small donors would be a losing strategy,
right.
And he's going to have to hope he wraps this thing up early.
Well, and here's the question, Jeannie, because, you know, Bernie Sanders basically has had an operational presidential campaign fund since 2015. And rumor has it he has somewhere around $26 million already banked. Joe Biden's holding his first fundraiser tonight, and he's hoping he can come away with $500,000 by the end of the evening. He seems to have a very tough hill to climb on that front.
He does, and this is why it was problematic for him to wait, and he kept waiting, and this is why people supporting him said, you've got to get into this thing, because if you don't, you're not going to catch up to the Bernie Sanders of the world, because Bernie has been, you know, he's been running for a long time, and he's got the money banked up, and so that is going to be Joe Biden's issue. He's got to go out, and he's going to have to raise money, and you can bet he's going to be hit hard from the left over the amount of money he's going to be trying to raise in big dollars.
Well, the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez Justice Democrats have already issued a couple of memos today saying that he does not represent the Democratic Party of today, and it looks like they're actively working to defeat him. Are you surprised that he did get in? I mean, he's going to be 78 if he wins the election and gets sworn in on election on Inauguration Day. Does he have a fight left in him?
I am personally surprised. You know, I get that there are big egos involved, and of course he would, you know, more than anything, this is something he's done before unsuccessfully. He would like to do it successfully. But to do this at this point in his career, he is going to be beat up on the trail, as is his family. Unfortunately, that's the way politics is. And he's entering a party that's incredibly different than the one that he, you know, he is used to. So, you know, to me, I am personally surprised he decided to do this. You know, and I also think there are questions to be raised about the ability of people at a certain age to do this to themselves physically. I said the same thing about Hillary Clinton. It is a grueling, grueling schedule for anybody,
right.
And it gets tougher as you get older.
Well, and I talked with some people that worked on the Trump and Hillary final campaign legs, and it was interesting to see because down the stretch, she was only able to handle about one trip per day, leaving, you know, the White Plains area and then going out and then hitting, you know, getting back to New York. Trump was hitting four or five states a day. Now, he's older, but he's in better physical condition. And I think that you're going to have a similar situation with either Bernie or Biden if the two kind of front runners are one of the ones left standing. But let's say Biden doesn't work out very quickly, Jeannie. Who do you think is the heir apparent? Is it the Bernie bros who got really ticked that they got cheated in 2016 by the Hillary organization? Who stands to win if Biden falters?
If Biden falters, I mean, ideologically, it should not be a Bernie Sanders, although I would say in the last few weeks, particularly on this question of impeachment, we have seen Sanders try to sort of capture a little bit more of that middle. But ideologically, it would be somebody like a Mayor Pete, potentially, or it would be like an O'Rourke who would benefit, or maybe a Klobuchar. You know, Hickenlooper, perhaps, who would benefit. But all those people way, way behind, obviously, the vice president at this point. I think the person to watch out for at this point, given the calendar, is Harris, because
yeah.
She is going to be moving into California, where she should do very well. So I would say she probably is the beneficiary. She's been a little slow. She was a little slow on this impeachment thing. I think there's questions to be raised about how that campaign is organized. But I would say she's somebody really to watch at this point if, you know, if the vice president, you know, somehow falters. authors.
Well, it'll be interesting to see, and I hope that people will follow your Twitter feed. Dr. Jeannie Zeno is one of those people that I love talking with. Even if we don't always agree on everything eye to eye, she gives me her best perspective on it possible, and I'm always grateful. You can follow her on Twitter, by the way, very simply, at Jeannie Zeno, J-E-A-N-N-E-Z-A-I-N-O. And she'll be back with us frequently, I have a feeling, Dr. Zeno, during the election push over the next couple of years. So thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. Great to talk to you.
As always. All right, coming up a bit later, why do we need to reclaim New York? Jaden Horan will join us, and also Dr. Douglas Howard going to weigh in on some wellness ideas for this Thursday before we're done. It's a big, busy Thursday. Kevin McCullough, don't go anywhere.
It's a common practice for some companies to lay off workers as they approach retirement, leaving them high and dry for a pension. It's good economics, but is it also unfair? This weekend on Champions of Justice, Tom Girardi gets the scoop on the story with Peter Bennett, an attorney who has fought for workers' rights all his life. Surprisingly, he's not a fan of unions. Tune in, Champions of Justice, Sunday mornings at 10 here on AM 970, The Answer.
Every single week, we at Kevin McCullough Radio hope to bring you a little bit of help by getting one of the most esteemed lawyers in all the business to answer one of your questions right here on the air. Ask Mike Connors is what we do. Ask the Lawyer is the name of his show, and he answers a question with us each week. And Mike, this week's question comes from Nancy. She says, Mr. Connors, can a will be deemed invalid if an attorney's signature is missing? Pretty good question, because sometimes this does, in fact, happen, I guess.
Well, it does. The law in virtually every state in the country is that the will has to be witnessed by two independent witnesses. In other words, somebody who's not named in the will, somebody who's usually not a close relative. An attorney does not technically have to witness a will. So now, if for some reason the attorney was one of the two witnesses and somehow he forgot to witness the will or she forgot to witness the will, then it's not valid. But if two other witnesses sign, it is a valid will.
All right. Well, that seems pretty simple then. Just get two living, breathing people to say that they witnessed it and to sign it, and you're in good shape.
Yeah, I mean, you don't, it's better to have an attorney witness your will, but yes, it's
okay.
A valid will.
And wills are something that, friends, you should take seriously, and there was no one on the planet that was more helpful for the lovely bride and I getting our will in place than Connors and Sullivan, and his team is standing by to help you right now. In fact, if you call 718-238-6500, they will begin that process for you to make sure your will is what it needs to be today. 718-238-6500, 718-238-6500. You can also ask Mike your own question, askmikeconnors@gmail.com, askmikeconnors@gmail.com. You might hear it answered right here on Kevin McCullough Radio. And additionally, he might answer it on his broadcast, Saturday mornings at 8 on Ask the Lawyer on AM 570 The Mission, and Sunday mornings at 11 on AM 970 The Answer. Mike Connors, thanks so much.
Thank you, Kevin.
Hi, AM 970 listeners. Steve Adubato here. On One-on-One, whether it's politics, pop culture, business, or Broadway, we've got the conversations you want to hear.
There is always something to learn.
Do you enjoy talking politics?
No.
That's a good question. High five.
So check out my show, One-on-One, weeknights at 7 p.m. on NJTV and 12:30 a.m. on WNET 13 and across the region on Fios One News. See you there.
Hey, it's Joe Piscopo. Catch my friend Steve and his great lineup of guests every weeknight on One-on-One with Steve Adubato.
AM 970, The Answer.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. It's my privilege to be in a partnership with the Alliance Defending Freedom. ADF is on the front lines fighting for your right to freely live out your faith every single day. And that's why you're going to start hearing these Freedom Minutes here on Kevin McCullough Radio. Here's Bob Trent with more of this one's.
A family of farmers, military vets, and devout Christians are under assault from their local government because of their deeply held Christian beliefs. Hi, I'm Bob Trent, and this is your Freedom Minute. Crinter Mill Farms is owned by Steve Tennis, farmer, military veteran, and devout Christian. His farm had participated in the East Lansing, Michigan farmers market for almost a decade until government officials banned Steve from selling products simply because of a Facebook post he wrote stating his Christian beliefs about marriage. One government official went on to call his beliefs ridiculous, horrible, and hateful, and said that they will ban Steve from the market until he changes his beliefs. Alliance Defending Freedom is suing the city for its anti-religious discrimination discrimination and is asking the court to permanently allow Country Mill Farms to sell its products at the farmers market. For more information and to help us protect your freedom, visit yourfreedomfund.org. That's yourfreedomfund.org.
If you'd like to give to the Freedom Fund to help defend your freedom and provide the resources needed to fight these critical court battles, please call 800-569-1559. That's 800-569-1559. Or visit the website, freedomfund.org. Yourfreedomfund.org. That's yourfreedomfund.org.
Unelected judges and left-wing progressives seek to eliminate your freedoms. The Alliance Defending Freedom fights for you in our nation's courtrooms. Kevin McCullough fights for those freedoms on the air every single day. It's the Freedom Defense Update. Exclusively at Kevin McCullough Radio.
And it is important that we do this because these cases are working their ways through various courts across the country, some in the state level, some in the appellate levels, some even at the Supreme Court level. And that's where we're going to today. And I'm grateful for John Bursch, who is the former Solicitor General of the state of Michigan and has argued multiple cases before the U.S. Supreme Court. He was a part of the team that argued in the losing effort with Obergefell. We are excited to have him with us today. John, welcome to Kevin McCullough Radio. Thank you for what you're doing and for what the Alliance Defending Freedom stands for.
Well, thank you, and thank you for all the support that you give us as we try to fight for your listeners' freedom. You know, not only them, but their children and grandchildren. That's what this is all about.
So this week, the U.S. Supreme Court announced it's going to take up some cases that are going to deal with gender identity and the legal definition of sex. Why are these cases important?
The one we have, it's called Harris Funeral Homes, and it's extremely important because we can all agree that stopping sex discrimination is a good thing, but redefining the meaning of the word sex hurts that goal and creates big problems for everyone.
For example, how?
If you change the meaning of sex in the law to include gender identity, here are some of the repercussions. Many of your listeners may have heard about the recent high school women's track meet, the sprinting meets that took place in Connecticut, and the top two places, including the new, quote, state record, end quote, were actually won by men who said that they were women. And by doing that, they deprived two women who should have won those races to get their recognition. They deprived other women of the opportunity to run in the finals, and this has adverse impacts on college scholarships for all of them. So one of the main reasons that we have sex protection in the law to protect women and give them equal opportunities was taken away in Connecticut because they changed the definition of sex.
And this is happening increasingly across the country in a variety of different expressions. Your case in particular, the Michigan funeral home, what happened there?
In our case, we've got a Detroit funeral home. It's got a couple of locations. It's a family business that's been around for more than 100 years, and their primary goal is to serve and minister to grieving families. And in order to do that as a funeral home, it's essential that you maintain strict codes of dress and conduct so that employees blend into the background. So no tattoos, nothing flashy. Everyone wears dark clothing and sex-appropriate clothing wear. Well, in 2007, they hired a male employee who agreed to all these policies that he would comply with them, including the sex-specific dress code. Then in 2013, he expressed his intent to dress as a woman instead. Now, the funeral home's position is that employees are free to wear anything on their own time, but the dress code is mandatory. And once that happened, they weren't able to come to an agreement. And so the federal government, the EEOC, came after the family business and told them that they were discriminating. Now, what's funny about this, we have a federal law that prohibits discrimination based on sex in the workplace. And the Federal Court of Appeals reinterpreted that law and said that when Congress said sex in 1964, what they really meant was gender identity. And on that basis, the Sixth Circuit said that the business was liable, notwithstanding its interest in trying to minister to the family and friends of the lost loved one.
Well, and this is where this stuff always gets weird. And I've had a lot of friends that are not anywhere near me, you know, right of center. I've had a lot of left of center friends that have told me in recent days that they think the gender identity debate is actually going to really mess up most of the priorities of the LGBTQ community, because what they're doing is they're going into areas now where the unintended consequences of their actions are going to start falling back in on themselves. And as you've already cited, women's rights are being set back as the deeper this gender identity confusion debate keeps going. So what is going to be the primary argument for the Alliance Defending Freedom when you take this case before the Supreme Court, probably this fall?
Yeah, the argument's likely to be in November. And the top line legal argument is that courts, you know, judges in particular, don't have the ability to judicially update federal law. We all learn when we're in elementary school government class that there are three branches of government, and Congress and the president decide what laws to pass, and the judiciary is there to just interpret and enforce those laws. Simply because some unelected judges think that they can create a better policy than Congress did doesn't mean they have the constitutional authority to do that. And the other is just the policy. We've already talked about the women's opportunities in sports. And like you said, it's not just in Connecticut, it's all across the country. But let me give you a few more examples of how changing or redefining sex as gender identity creates big problems for all of us.
Okay.
Up in Anchorage, Alaska, there is a women's shelter, and they minister to women who have been physically and sexually abused. And it's an overnight shelter, so they can come there and stay overnight for safety. Well, the city of Anchorage, Alaska, is insisting that a man who came to their door and identified as a woman has to be allowed to sleep with these physically and sexually abused women. Obviously, they're not willing to do that, and so that's moving into litigation as well. We've also got the same problem in high schools and colleges. As long as we've had schools, we've had sex-segregated bathrooms, showers, locker rooms. Well, if sex includes or means gender identity, then a boy can say that he's a girl and have access to the girl's shower. And I think most Americans would agree, for a whole host of reasons, that that's not a good idea.
And you're tapping into those outer ripples of consequences that I was just referring to, because now you've got questions of safety issues. And there have been some reports from some of these places where they have gone with this very progressive view of gender identity. There are reports of women that have been mistreated. Even Target, as a department store, which was trying to make their bathroom environments to be very gender inclusive, so to speak, and they began to allow self-identifying female men to go into the women's restroom. There have already been criminal charges filed against men that have done wrong things against women in those bathrooms. So it really, at some point, something's going to have to give. And common sense, and I think just a basic sense of decency by normal people, at some point is going to be what wins the day.
Yeah, we certainly hope so. And I think it should be an easy sell for the U.S. Supreme Court to explain that unelected judges don't have the ability to just change the law without Congress and the president, and that businesses shouldn't be punished for following the law the way it is rather than trying to anticipate what it should be. But people are going to have to talk to their representatives in Congress, because if the court doesn't act, this is going to be on the legislative agenda to actually do it through the legislative process. And everyone needs to be able to understand and speak about the importance of freedom in the context of changing sex to mean gender identity everywhere it appears in federal law.
Yeah. All right, John Bursch, thanks for fighting the good fight with the Alliance Defending Freedom. Kevin McCullough, coming right back. Hi, Kevin McCullough. Listen closely to what must become two of our top priorities. The first one is shocking: veteran suicide. In all the wars since 9/11, we've lost over 6,000 of our military. But what if I told you that that's not true? It's actually much worse. We've really lost over 140,000. You see, they were killed over there, but came home and died here. They took their own lives. Double the loss in Vietnam. Second, cancer. We can't continue to hear the word or allow it to destroy our lives anymore. If we don't take action, it'll go on forever. We can't wait. We won't wait. That's because the funding is here, and it's through Gold Shield. It's simple. If you're a business, large or small, become a Gold Shield member. If you're a consumer, shop where you see the Gold Shield. Go to thegoldshield.us or call 888-526-9111, and you'll see what this is all about. 888-526-9111. It's really great to feel that we can actually do something about these two tragic disasters, cancer and veteran suicide. Gold Shield, thegoldshield.us.
Relief Factor is made from high-quality fish oil and essential nutrients. Gives your body the help it needs to aid fighting recurring aches and pains. When life's aches and pains get you down, you need relief. Physicians made Relief Factor as an essential way to support the body's fight against aches and pains. It's a remarkable product. It has worked. I only endorse it because it helped my wife with her knee pain. I didn't even know she was taking it. Then when it was mentioned, she said, oh yeah, this stuff is like magic. Look, there are people who've told me they've postponed or delayed or simply negated surgery because of Relief Factor. That's how powerful it is. Go to www.relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384. This remarkable product is called Relief Factor, relieffactor.com.
Our hosts all look like GQ models. See them now at am970theanswer.com.
Obliterating confusion, amplifying truth, and pursuing clarity. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, so Reclaim New York, you know they're one of my favorite groups. I love the fact that they're speaking up and speaking out, and they're calling people's bluffs when they're put up there. And unfortunately, in the tri-state area, we've got a lot of bluff calling to be done because both states are in total and abject messes, and they seem to want to make that worse almost every day. it's just something Governors Cuomo and Murphy wake up trying to do. Anyway, Jaden Horan is part of Reclaim New York, and he rejoins us. And Jaden, a lot of people were disappointed that the congestion pricing thing went through. And for people that don't know what that is, if you come to New York City, they want to charge you another tax to just drive south of 60th Street if you're in Manhattan. That's basically the idea. But this is going to abjectly impact, you know, people in the outer boroughs. It's going to impact people in New Jersey. It's going to impact visitors to the area that happen to drive in. And so there's all this still angst about it, even though it's become more or less the law. And one of the people that were most upset about it was Governor Murphy and the state of New Jersey. Now, supposedly, they're going to try to work out some sort of deal. But bring us up to speed on what has happened on this issue and where these two states stand with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Pleasure to be on, Kevin. So New York and New Jersey have a history of collaborating and working together. Obviously, many people work in New York City. They live in New Jersey. They share the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. It's the airports, the ports. And so naturally, the governor of New Jersey, Governor Murphy, thought after his conversation with Governor Cuomo that they had reached some kind of conceptual agreement so that the residents of New Jersey would not have to pay this new tax to get into Manhattan. And apparently, while Governor Cuomo did not hit back himself personally, he had surrogates through a transit agency say that they had no idea what this was. And so, you know, my sources are saying to me that likely, you know, the governor of New Jersey is facing incredible political heat over the fact that the neighboring state, the state of the same party as he belongs, the Democratic Party, that they are doing this to New Jersey residents, and that you need to bring home the bacon. So he thought that he had brought home the bacon, Kevin, but guess what? He didn't bring home the bacon because congestion pricing, which is going to come to a city near you for most of you listeners out there, is a scheme to tax people to drive on things, on roads that they previously do for free. It is entirely predicated on raising money, which means they need to leave, they need to minimize as many carve-outs as possible and exemptions. So there's no way in holy heck that the governor of New York or its transit agencies would exempt 155,000 commuters from Jersey from paying this tax because they need the money in order to raise the $1 billion per year to fund MTA.
Right.
So in the subways. So what we're talking about here, Kevin, is essentially that the governor of New Jersey had thought that he had reached some agreement with the governor of New York to bring home the bacon and make things less painful for residents in New Jersey. And it looks like it's not true, which shows that there's yet more confusion over what this congestion pricing actually is, who it's going to affect, and what the scheme is. Because if everyone is being promised something behind the scenes, but we know the law has passed, and you're right, Kevin, the law has passed. It's the law of the land in New York, but it's not being implemented until after the next election, so none of our politicians feel the pain. And it's all being kicked over to an independent commission so the governor can claim he's not responsible. But we don't know what the carve-outs are going to be or what the carve-outs are not going to be.
Yeah.
So all this has done is increase confusion for everyone that lives in the tri-state area and provided no clarity. And it is further, as we at Reclaim have said, it further undermines the idea that congestion pricing is in fact for congestion. Because if it was for congestion, the endemic traffic, the terrible traffic that exists in New York City, then most certainly they would not exempt 155,000 freaking cars, right? Like, that just doesn't make sense. So if the governor is saying this, a wink and a nod, and the other governor is expecting this, and now everyone's saying it's not going to happen, we really have to question what backdoor deals are being done behind the scenes.
Well, and
everyone is being affected by this.
And the carve-outs that they're willing to make, even if they come to an agreement for New Jersey commuters, Mayor de Blasio is already saying city vehicles need to be exempted. And people are saying, well, if you've got people coming from the outer boroughs, you don't want to be taxing them anymore. I mean, somebody crossing the Verrazano is already paying the most expensive bridge toll in America. And so, again, lots of questions. No one's going to be satisfied. There's no plan to use the proceeds to actually fix the congestion issue. And at the end of the day, they want to tax you more. Appreciate what Reclaim is doing, Jaden. Quickly, how can people help solve the problem? If New Yorkers are upset and they want to speak out and speak up, what should they do?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we are doing is we are having people go to www.reclaimnynow.org/congestion-pricing and just let us know, because we are reaching out to a broad coalition. We are reaching out to legislators in New Jersey now. We're reaching out to legislators in New York, whether Democrat or Republican. We've had so many people call legislators out. Legislators are willing to sit down with us, irrespective of their party. So if you go to www.reclaimnynow.org/congestion-pricing and let us know, we will reach out to you and make sure that our elected officials know that this is not working.
And this reclaimnynow.org/congestion-pricing. Just get to the reclaimnynow.org page and you can find your way from there. But it's pretty simple. Reclaimnynow.org. Jaden Horn, always appreciate your help. Stay with us. Coming up, it's a Wellness Thursday. And that means Dr. Douglas Howard's in the house. And we're talking the health of eggs. Stay with us.
Joe Walsh is frightened by what he hears from Democratic presidential candidates.
Upon being elected, I will give the United States Congress 100 days to pass reasonable gun safety laws. And if they fail to do it, then I will take executive action.
What Kamala Harris said right there should be disqualifying. You're just the president. You can't make law.
The Joe Walsh Radio Program. Weeknights at 9, right before Eric Metaxas at 11 on AM 970. The Answer.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. You've heard me talk about Mike Lindell, my good friend. You've heard me talk about his passion to get everyone to get the best sleep of their life. And he didn't stop by just making the best pillow. Mike would not rest until he had also discovered the best bedsheets. The new Giza Dream bedsheets. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for me, which is crucial for my busy schedule. Mike found the world's softest cotton. It's called Giza. It's ultra soft, breathable, extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets also include full 21-inch wide pillowcases that will fit over any pillow and deep pocket sheets that will fit over any mattress. The first night you sleep on the Giza sheets, you will never want to sleep on anything else ever. Giza Dream Sheets come in a variety of sizes and colors. Mike is making a special offer of 30% off with free shipping. That's 30% off and free shipping. Call now, 1-800-506-2641. Use the promo code AM970 or go to MyPillow.com and make sure you use the promo code AM970. That number again, 1-800-506-2641, promo code AM970.
Hey, Jan, did you look into my suggestion about switching to Sprint?
I owe too much of my wireless contract to think about switching right now.
Don't let that stop you. Sprint's offering up to $650 per line to cover your switching costs.
$650?
It's their way of giving you a clean slate. Plus, if you lease a new iPhone, you can get an incredible new iPad on them.
This weekend only at your local Sprint store. Switch to Sprint and we'll cover your switching fees up to $650 per line via prepaid MasterCard. And if you lease a new iPhone, we'll give you an incredible new iPad on us. Get to your local Sprint store this weekend and save. Less required phone trade-in credit provided after online registration and new phone activation. Amount based on early termination fee charged to remaining phone balance. Card terms, conditions, and exclusion apply. Member FDIC. iPad 6th generation, 32 gigabytes, $0 per month after 1917 monthly credit for 24 months. Credit applied within 2 bills. Requires new line on qualifying plan. If you cancel early, remain balance due. Taxes due at sale.
Everywhere I go, oh, I stay, is it all, oh, always on my road.
Breaking news about your wellness with Dr. Douglas Howard, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio. Proudly powered by the fruits and veggies of Balance of Nature.
Well, I don't know if you've been with us on Thursdays in recent weeks, but with just one week's exception for the last several, we have been taking a look on these wellness days of these 20 nutrition facts that should be common sense but aren't. And I'm so grateful to have Dr. Douglas Howard back with us to take on the next one, because I have learned, in terms of the wellness segments that we've done on the radio with Kevin McCullough Radio, I've learned more from this series across a wide spectrum of nutritional information than I've learned in most of the conversations I've had outside of this series. So, Dr. Douglas Howard, it's always a pleasure to have you with us on Thursday. Welcome back. Thanks for being here.
It's great to be with you again.
So we're up to this this one on the list that says eggs are one of the healthiest foods you can eat. And I don't necessarily think that people believe that that's not necessarily the case. But when I mentioned this to you, you said, I love eggs. So what is the good news about eggs? Why are eggs so good for us?
Okay, well, I'm going to start at a very basic aspect. It's interesting. The word protein in German, how you say the word protein literally, is called Eiweiß. So Eiweiß means protein, directly translated. But if you break the word down, it really means egg white. So a perfect protein, and what was always considered the perfect protein, was the egg whites of an egg.
Huh.
Which is interesting. And so, and then all of a sudden it's the worst thing. And then they said, well, get rid of the yolk. And, you know, well, we could go on about this. But what's really interesting is how eggs started getting demonized were obviously because of cholesterol, right?
Right.
So they started saying, well, oh, yeah, eggs have a lot of cholesterol, da 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 da. You don't hear that much anymore, do you? Unless it's from a doctor who really won't keep up with the times. But that's pretty well been withdrawn. I love the fact that I never jumped onto this fad. It was a fad. You know, it was a health fad that medicine jumped into. And so once Susan and I, we were in Russia once, and we were checking up on some of the studies we were having done on Balance of Nature and the university. And one of the professors at the university, he was telling us, he said, oh, I had the great opportunity to go to New York. Well, you know, since I'd last seen you, I said, great. Yeah, I went to a medical symposium. And he said, I found the most interesting thing. My colleagues and I from Russia, we went in and we saw these special eggs with reduced cholesterol. And he started laughing. He said, number one, how do you do this? And number two, whoever said eggs were bad for you? He said, we discovered cholesterol here in this country, which is true. Russia actually discovered the link to cholesterol.
Huh.
But he said, but we never said eggs were on that list. We only said that if there's a there is a correlation, and not a definitive correlation, between high cholesterol and heart disease. Now, they never said that if we could artificially reduce cholesterol, it would fix heart disease either. That's very important.
That's very interesting.
That's never been made, that correlation. And because, anyways, we go on about the whys, but it's just so interesting. He said, I find this quite interesting. So I did medical, part of my medical training in Russia. And that was one of the things that was never, never a part of controlling cholesterol. To control cholesterol, there's three things you have to do. You have to control your diet, which is good, but not eggs. And that's only really, honestly, a smart of it. And the biggest thing is you bring in things that help your body control the cholesterol because you're producing cholesterol. Cholesterol also is your friend. People forget that you can't make hormones without cholesterol. Do you want a lack of hormones?
No, not for a lot of reasons.
So. Okay. Yeah. But many hormones, insulin's even a hormone, but
right.
All of these things and cholesterol is one of the greatest hormones that we talk about that people don't realize. We call it vitamin D. It's not a vitamin. It is a hormone, and you can't even make it in your body without cholesterol. That's why we're having all this vitamin D deficiency, is because we're lowering people's cholesterols way too low. Anyway, I don't want to go off into that too far, but I just want people to understand eggs are good. You don't want to live on them constantly. But in the history of all the world, the three things that the people had with them was a cow for milk, or goats, either milk from a cow or goats, and they carried honeybees with them, and they had chickens that would lay eggs for them. And if they were starving of everything else, they had that and could live healthy, healthy diets. You always heard of the land of milk and honey. These things are all good for you. We demonize them. Later we'll talk about milk. But so cholesterol itself is a very important function for so many things. And the ways we should be working it and balancing it is activity. Through our activity levels, then we control cholesterol. And through our diet and getting some sunshine. And when I say diet, eating things like oats and, oats and other chemistry that helps to control that fat. I've run on and not let you say anything. That's not so good.
No, but but Dr. Howard, the reason that I'm not saying anything is because I'm writing stuff down as fast as I can. And this is encouraging to me because, as you know, I've had some issues with my gallbladder and some other things, and cholesterol's kind of the enemy in that arena too. But I've noticed that if I eat egg whites, that I have far less any kind of inflammation or anything like that, and my body responds quite healthy. In fact, it feels like the way it's supposed to when it feels right, and I've grown to really appreciate that, and I'm eating more of them than I've had in the past. But all right, so today, friends, it's very simple.
The key to that, I got to say this one thing. The key to that is you've got to balance it with plenty of fruits and vegetables. I don't want you eating a dozen eggs a day, and that's
right. No, and I'm not nowhere near it.
Only because I said it's a perfect protein doesn't mean it's the perfect chemistry.
That's right.
It's amino acids. That's
right.
Important.
And in order to get the right amount of fruits and veggies guaranteed, there's nothing like fruits and veggies from Balance of Nature. I take them every day. I want you to take them every day. And here's the thing, friend. If you take 3 and 3, you get the equivalent of 10 servings of 31 fruits and vegetables. If they were all mixed in a salad, you would get the equivalent of 10 servings of that. Your body takes that and uses it. It helps guard against the allergies and the sinuses and the colds and all the stuff that people are fighting right now, and I have seen that work in my life perfectly. So call today, lock in your price, get free shipping for the next year. 1-800-246-8751, 1-800-246-8751. Dr. Howard, always a pleasure to have you with us on these Thursday wellness visits. Thanks for being here.
That's great. Thank you.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio. Stay with us.
There's a lot to learn and understand when getting ready to buy a home. Having a right lending team in place who can help is important. The lending experts at Citizens Bank can answer your questions about home borrowing or how to get started with a mortgage pre-approval. Call Citizens Bank at 212-857-6668, 212-857-6668, and ask a citizen. Mortgages are offered and originated by Citizens Bank N.A., NMLS number 433960, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. You know, almost everybody around me has the allergies and the sinus and the colds and the stuff, and I hear it all the time, and I don't get it anymore. Do you know why? Because about 3 years ago, when I used to get chronic bronchitis every time the weather changed, I started taking Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in capsule form. I haven't had a cold, the flu, even allergy problems since. Balance of Nature is not like ordinary vitamins that are made with synthetics and your body just basically passes them on through. No, Balance of Nature is different because it's natural food in a vegetarian capsule. It's got tens of thousands of vital nutrients from 100% whole food plants, fruits, and veggies. Each capsule, in fact, is the equivalent of 10 servings of fruits and vegetables. And once you start taking Balance of Nature, I promise you, you're going to feel great. Better skin, lots more energy. Improve the quality of your life. Right now is the time. Now, here's the best reason why to do it right now. The price of produce, you know, it fluctuates during the year. And as the prices go down, Balance of Nature is giving you an opportunity to lock it in and get the best price possible and free shipping for the next year. Have the confidence to know that you're going to get Balance of Nature at the best price possible. Call in and lock your prices on fruits and veggies and get free shipping on every order. 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com. You've got to use my discount code. The answer, Balance of Nature, changing America one life at a time. That phone number again, 800-246-8751, 800-246-8751, 800-246-8751, or online at balanceofnature.com.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's the Ace Buy One, Get One free sale now through Monday only. Don't miss out on all our great deals throughout the store. Save on top brands like Scott's and Ortho. Plus, get deals on other products you'll need this spring, like birdseed, spray paint, light bulbs, and more. With so many great Buy One, Get One free deals, you can't afford to miss it. So hurry in. The Ace Buy One, Get One free sale ends Monday. Offers valid at participating stores. Buy select item and get designated item free. See store for details.
Jay Sekulow Live is next on AM 970, The Answer. What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
President Obama endorsed.
I asked President Obama not to endorse, and he doesn't want to. Whoever wins this nomination should win it on their own merits.
Sir, why you?
Welcome to Delaware.
Yeah, welcome to Delaware, he says. He also, one time when running for president against his former boss, said something about President Obama being the neat, clean kind of African-American that people could really... He also said something about how you can't wander into a 7-Eleven in his state of Delaware without bumping into four or five Indian people. This guy has not even begun to have his real demons excoriated, and there's already stuff coming to mind. Ladies and gentlemen, let me make this very clear. This will be the best day that Joe Biden has on the campaign trail. And I want to go back to that cut that Alex just played for you. Alex, can you play it again for me?
Why didn't President Obama endorse?
I asked President Obama not to endorse, and he doesn't want to. Whoever wins this nomination should win it on their own merits.
Now, sir, why you? Welcome to Delaware.
Now, welcome to Delaware. So what's interesting about this is, and this is being quoted throughout the media as Biden saying, having said, I asked Obama not to endorse me. I don't believe that. And if that's an actual quote that is attributable to the vice president, I don't believe the former vice president. I believe that Joe Biden very much, very desperately wants President Obama's endorsement. I think what he realized is that President Obama probably wasn't going to endorse him. And so instead of saying, well, why don't you make an endorsement and endorse me, he would prefer the former president not to endorse anybody. But I don't believe him. I don't believe the former vice president. And that's a bad foot to start on. But this is the best day. It's my opinion. This will be the best day that Joe Biden has on the campaign trail, because it's going to get tough and nasty real quick from here on out. But he's in. He's finally in. We'll see how far that goes. I'm Cavil McCullough. Looking forward to the Friday edition. Always got a big show on tap. Most likely, Governor Mike Huckabee will be joining us, and I hope that you will make plans to as well. And in the meantime, if you missed any part of today's show, including what some of you may have missed is my earlier conversation with the vice president's daughter, Charlotte Pence, go to the podcast page, Cavil McCullough Radio, at SoundCloud.com or on iTunes. We'll see you next time.